Praise God. Praise God. God is so good to us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to the book of Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. And while you're turning there, amen, I will say how honored that we are to be here and so thankful to be here. And as you know, we was able to close on our house last Wednesday. And so God has opened that up to us and blessed us to help us with that. And so this week we will be heading back to Texas to get all of our stuff and then coming back at the end of the week. And so Brother Reed will be taking care of the service on Wednesday night. Amen. Be here. Amen. And be supportive. Amen. Get behind him. Preach with him. Amen. Have a move of God. Pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. And Brother and Sister Worths are going to be taking a little time off and taking a little time away. And we're so happy that they could be able to do that. We do love them and appreciate them. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 28. And let's begin reading at verse number 1. And when they were escaped, and then they knew that the isle was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And so just for a few minutes of time tonight, I want to preach to you about the lessons that we learn from the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you for all that you have done, for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. God, we're so indebted to you. Praying, Lord Jesus, that you would help us here tonight, that the Spirit would speak to us, God, and that you would reach down and touch hearts and souls and minister and move, oh God. We'll be quick to give you the honor. We'll be quick to praise and to magnify you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We thank you for your presence that we feel here today. Asking God for a divine move of your Spirit, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's just lift our voice in praise and thank him today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Fire definitely has many, many different attributes. And we know them very well. Some of us have experienced them in one or various different ways. And it can be extremely helpful. It can be beneficial. But at the same time, it can be very destructive. For we know that the fire is capable and able and does destroy everything that is in its path. And there really is not too much that's going to survive the fire. I know that they have fireproof safes and such, but even those do have their limitations. And but we do know that it destroys everything that it's in its path. And California has felt this for several years now. And they have seen the destruction of it even going through their cities and burning entire cities. And but at the same time, if they wouldn't be such tree huggers and all of that other such, then they would do as the rest of us do. And we call it a controlled burn and do some underbrush burning, in that we burn away all the tinder and such, and so there's not as much to feed that fire. And maybe one of these days they will learn that. And but the Bible teaches us that the fire is easily fed. It is not particular in what you feed it. It will consume anything and everything that you do feed it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30 and verse number 16, that there are four things that say that it is not enough. And one of those things is the fire. You will never find a fire that finally just puts his hands up and says, you know what, that's enough. I think I've destroyed enough. But yet it will continue to blaze and continue to destroy and be destructive, even if there be just a little ember that is there. I remember many years ago as a teenager, and there was a house that was a couple of houses down from us, and it had caught on fire. And so that night we had went out there and we had watched from a distance as the firemen began to fight that fire and began to do the things that they do. And when we left there and went back home and went to bed the next morning, we got up and went out to look at it and just to see maybe what damage was there. And we noticed that pretty much the entire thing had burnt to the ground. There was barely a shell that was there, but what had happened was there was what they call the hot spots. And all of the hot spots had not been taken care of. And during the middle of the night, that thing caught again and did more destruction then before somebody could get to it to put it out. And so the fire continually says it is not enough. 100,000 acres is not enough. 150,000, 200,000 acres is not enough. It will continue to burn and to eat everything that is in its path. And it takes all kinds of first responders to take care of it. I reminded back in 2002, back when the Haman fire went through central Colorado there, some 1,000 workers, 4 slurry bombers, 2 helicopters and such, and that was one of the biggest fires at the time. But in this day and time, it seems that fire has been dwarfed in comparison to some of the others that have had hundreds of thousands and many thousands of workers that have worked on it for months on end and flying in from different states and such, and all of the slurry bombers and the helicopters dropping water on it, because it is so destructive, and it is imperative that they get control of it and be able to burn back into it so that they can stop it. Why? Because fire spreads very easily, because it's not, it never says it's enough. And so whatever that's there, it spreads, it takes care of it, burns it down. Wind feeds the fire and pushes it faster, and combustion begins to happen. And it is amazing, amazing. We were evangelizing and we're looking forward to the day that there was a restaurant in the area that we were looking forward to eat at, and it had its grand opening within just a few days. And so we were looking forward to be able to partake of that. And one day, closer to the grand opening, we drove by it, and it was totally gutted by the fire. And it all happened because somebody was careless, and they should have known better, but they were in there and they were staining all the wood, and they took those rags that they had used to stain the seats and the cabinets and the counters and all that, and throwing them over into a box or into a pile. And in the night, spontaneous combustion happened, and they caught on fire, and they burnt the building down and destroyed it. And so there's ways that this happened. There's what we've talked about throughout this. A fire is hot instantly. Amen. Instantly. You turn on your fire and on the stove or in the fireplace and stuff, and you don't have to stick your hand in. Say, well, you know what, that's almost hot enough, I'm just waiting until it gets a little bit hotter. And no, it's hot instantly. It's hot instantly. Praise God. Amen, amen. And the Lord chose to use the fire, amen, in that Jesus spoke, and he said that we would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and the fire. And so when we take these attributes and we apply them to our spiritual lives, it does make a lot of sense, because that fire of the Holy Ghost is still able to destroy destroy everything within its path. And it needs to, amen, because we got a lot of turmoil. We got a lot of junk. We got a lot of issues. We got a lot of undergrowth. We got a lot of stuff that's in our lives that needs to be taken care of. And I'll make it just a little more plain. We got a lot of attitudes. We got a lot of resentments. We got a lot of depressions. We got a lot of emotions. We got a lot of, amen, of these things that's not conducive to godly living, that when you are full of the Holy Ghost, amen, God will take care of some of these issues. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I have not found anything, amen, that is able to survive a good Holy Ghost outpouring, infilling upon a soul. Praise God. Amen. I've seen people that have come to churches with problems and pressures and baggage and such. But when they came to an altar and they offered it unto God, the fire came down and consumed it. Amen. And they left a changed individual. Amen. They came with problems, but the Holy Ghost, amen, devoured the problems, came with attitudes. Amen. It had different emotions for somebody. Amen. But a good move of the Holy Ghost in a church service, amen, and before it's all said and done, all of those emotions and attitudes are gone, amen, and God has taken care of things, and you know what? It spreads so easily. There's something about the love of God that is contagious. Amen. There's something about joy and peace and happiness. Amen. And strength and restoration and power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That when you're in the store, when you're in there, amen, and the people begin to look at you and begin to see and they wonder why that you're smiling, why that you're so, you ought to be smiling. You ought to be happy in Jesus. Amen. You ought to. That's just the way. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Jesus. Amen. But Christians ought to walk around with a smile on their face. They ought to not walk around with a long, amen, look down in the mouth and all sorrowful with a poor and woe is me spirit. Amen. But we need to be able to shed and to show the love of God abroad. You know why? Because there's not a lot of happiness in this world. There's not a lot of joy in this world. I'll go a step further. There's not a lot to smile about in this world. But church, we got something to smile about. Amen. We got something to be hopeful about. We got peace like a river. We got joy like a fountain. Amen. And we are hooked up to that fountain that at any time we can call upon that precious and that wonderful name. And he's as close as the mention of his name. And his presence comes down. And his presence touches us, and in his presence his fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, let's magnify God. Amen. That's why when we sing that song, the Holy Ghost is moving. And we begin to say, it makes me want to sing. It makes me want to shout. It makes me want to clap my hands. It makes me want to run. It makes me want to dance and praise him while I have a chance. Somebody says, I just don't understand you Pentecostals. Take your hand and stick it in the fire and see how long you can leave it there. You'll jerk it back and say, whoa, that's hot. When you get in touch with the Holy Ghost, and when the Holy Ghost comes down and begins to move upon your soul, you cannot just sit there. You cannot be just passive about it all, but it puts something down in your step. It puts that spring, that hope in your soul. It puts joy and gladness down in your bones. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And just like fire, we can go back to the day and the time. I can go back to January the 26th of the year 1990. And somewhere around 9 or 9:30 at night, I was standing up at the altar when the fire touched me. Amen. There were people that had burned victims. And we got scars of where that the fire got a hold of them. Amen. I don't have a scar on me, but I can
can show you the change that was in my life when the Holy Ghost and the fire came down and touched me and my life and changed me forever. Praise God. Amen. And so there are some lessons that we can learn from the fire in this particular scripture, this passage here today. And so what the Bible teaches us is that Paul was upon a ship, and he had even told the captain that he felt that they should not go forward and move on. But the captain had told him, I think that we're going to go ahead and do it. And so out upon that sea, they ran into basically what we would call a hurricane or a typhoon. And they were tossed asunder. And the ship broke up. And some jumped out and grabbed a hold of boards, and others swam to the shore. But here they are upon the island of Melita in our text. And when they get there, they are met by what is called barbarous people. But these barbarous people, seeing that these individuals had come in from the sea and that they were wet, and so they set about building a fire, because they knew that if they're going to dry off, if they are going to be able to dry off from the storm and from the rain and from the sea, then you're going to have a fire. Amen. And so it was able to dry them off from the storm that they had been in and the sea that they had just swam in. And so that's lesson one. I'm going to tie lesson two with that, and they're going to make sense, because this is what your mama taught you all the days of your life. Amen. Because the Bible says in the next part, he said that they built a fire because of the present rain and because of the cold. It was a winter situation. That's what Paul had said. He said, I think that we ought not to go. Amen. Because the winter is upon us and we need to stay here until better weather breaks. And so it's cold and it's wet. And you know what happens when you're cold and you're wet? You get sick. Amen. And your nose starts running. And you get a cold and your throat starts hurting. And then you feel under the weather. Well, these barbarous people knew that. And so they built a fire in order to dry the people off and to get them warm. And so not only were they wet, but they were cold in the wintertime. Amen. They were cold there. And the barbarous people said, if we don't get them dried off, they're going to be sick. And I just say tonight that that's what comes into the house of God. Here are people that have been in the elements of the world. I'm not talking about the physical elements, but I'm talking about the spiritual elements of the world. The pressures of Satan as he pressures the family, and they feel the pressure of that. Amen. And the spirits of the day and the age are doing their best in order to destroy the family. And the kids are mad at the parents. And the parents aren't getting along with the kids. And the husband's not getting along with the wife. And the wife's not getting along with the husband. And there's that friction. Amen. There is all of this. There are pressures from within. And there are pressures from without. And they feel all of these pressures. The peer pressures of the world, the hatred and the violence, the gangs, the immorality, amen, all of these things that are happening in this world. The Bible teaches us, amen, that sin has abounded throughout this world, and it seems like it's only getting worse and worse, and people are feeling like the only way out is suicide. The only way out is to kill somebody. The only way out is to do this or to do that. And there is a spirit that is there that is pressing them to go deeper, because hell does not like you. Hell is not interested in your well-being. The devil wants to see you destroyed. He wants to take you down to a place. He is never interested in elevating you. He is never interested in making the best of your situation. He may promise it, but in the end, he's ready to dump you upside down and to cast you out. Hell does not love you. The world does not love you. Your friends that are out there, they really don't love you. you. Because when the tough times get coming, then those friends that we thought were so close begin to dissipate and disappear. And you feel, amen, that pressure. Amen. Too many people are coming into the house of God and they're sickly. They're wrecked from the elements of the world. They're cold, amen, from the coldness that is out there. Thank God for a church, a Holy Ghost church, that is full and on fire with the Holy Ghost. We need to be able to present them with the Holy Ghost and fire, that they can feel the wellness and the warmth of the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Those people that had come out of the sea, we don't find, amen, that they shunned the fire. We don't find, amen, that they looked over at that fire and said, it would be nice to be a partaker of that, but I just think I'm just going to stand out here in the rain. Amen. That's what mama said. Amen. Don't you have enough sense to come in out of the rain? Amen. That's what the church is for. The church is a place that those that are out there in the world can come in from among them and find a place of warmth, find a place of dry, find a place of restoration around the fire, so that they can be made well from the sickness called sin that has ravished their lives. The next lesson that we learn here is that the fire has to be continually fed. There was a fire that was burning when they got there. There was a fire that was burning, amen, that had been started and created before, amen, they got there. But that fire had to be continually fed, because a fire that is not continually fed, it will go out. Amen. Those wildfires, it's continually fed because there's plenty for it to burn. But when you get a campfire and you start that campfire in there, you got to continually put wood upon that fire. You got to continually feed that fire. Even you get those big bonfires and that blaze up into the night, but yet they will go out at a particular time. It doesn't matter how high or how big that it is. I spent a lot of time down around College Station, Texas, where the Texas A&M Aggies are very, very proud of their heritage. And they build some of the largest bonfires in the college world of sports. They bring in huge logs, amen, and they pile up these logs on top of, amen, and they have cranes that take it up there, amen, and it's way, way high, amen, and it'll burn forever. But it wasn't but just several years ago that they were all around that fire, and they were hooting and hollering for the homecoming or whatever it was, and something collapsed, and all of those logs and those timbers came tumbling down, and it actually killed a few of them and hurt several others that was there. But even that fire is going to go out if it doesn't, if it is not continually fed. And so we see that Paul is there, and seeing a fire that is there, understands that it's got to be fed. And so the Bible teaches us that he went and got some sticks and he threw them upon the fire. Church, this fire has got to be continually fed. It's not enough for the preacher to get here and to build a fire before the saints of God get here for them to be partakers of. It's not enough for the saints of God to come here and to put just a little fire, that's a few little sticks upon the fire. We've got a city to reach. We've got a city that needs to see the light of the fire. They need to feel the warmth of the fire. And when they come through the doors, there needs to be a fire that is already burning. We need somebody to throw on, amen, some prayers under that fire. We need some people to put some worship under that fire. But let the fire be roaring, that when the preacher takes the pulpit and begins to preach, he's not having to try to build up a fire again. We've got to continually feed the fire of the Holy Ghost. It goes into an individual level as well. Amen. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost on one day and just expect it to be the same thing that it is at all times. You got to continually feed that fire. Amen. If you're out there feeding, amen, the dampness of the world upon it, your fire is going to go out. But if you're out there reading your word, if you're out there praying your prayers, if you're out there doing the things that are of God, you will continually feed that fire. Don't let the devil put that fire out. Amen. As a little Sunday school song said, don't let the devil blow on your fire and put it out. Get a raging hot red fire and let it burn for Jesus. Praise God. That first bunch of sticks was not sufficient enough. It had to be continually fed. Your first initial experience in the Holy Ghost is great. It's wonderful. It's powerful. But you cannot stop. You cannot stop. Amen, church. You hear me today? That's why it's so important to baby the babies. Amen. I'm not talking about our little individual babies. I'm talking about the new converts that come in. I got a friend, he's a pyromaniac. Some of you know what that means, the other ones don't. He just loves to play with fire. And so we were sitting back in our backyard one time and our families were together, and so we thought, you know what, we're going to do a little fire, and we're going to roast hot dogs and marshmallows and stuff out here, and we're just going to sit around the fire and just enjoy it. And so that's what we did. And so I got everything put up, and I put the wood down there, and God help me, I could go on forever here, but I just kind of put some wood on there and threw some lighter fluid on it and such, and put some leaves down there and put some little branches in there and stuff, and then poof, started a fire, walked away, and it flamed for just a few short seconds and went out. And so I did it again, and finally some of the little twigs caught and they burned up, and it went out. I had to find some more small twigs and put them on there, and it burned up and went out. So I'm not a very good fire builder. I wasn't in the Boy Scouts. And so my friend said, let me do this. And so he began to arrange the wood. And he began to stack it in certain ways and put certain stuff and everything around there and stuff like that. And he caught it on fire, and he started the fire and stuff, and it caught and it went. And we were able to finish our little family gathering and such. But you know, when you go to the Bible and you start reading about the altar, you go look it up. Go look it up. The Bible said that they were to arrange the wood. They put the wood in a specific way because they were looking for a specific result. All right, let me move on. And so these new ones are like me, the non-fire builder. And they get in here and they get the Holy Ghost, and that fire just takes off, you know, and stuff, but it's going to burn quickly and it's going to go out. They need some good saints of God to kind of keep them propped up. You're going to have to carry them for a while until some of that larger wood catches on fire. Because they're like me. And they think we just put a few more little twigs, but those few more little twigs burn up quickly. And so what they need is they need the good saints of God to keep putting some sticks upon their fire. That fire wasn't Paul's fire, but Paul benefited from it. I don't know a church in the world that doesn't benefit from new converts coming in and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so it behooves us to keep putting wood on their fire to keep them burning. Well, if they had come to church, I'd put a little bit of wood on that fire. Okay, we'll give them a call. Give them a phone call and let them realize and let them know that somebody's thinking about them. Somebody's caring for them. Amen. Somebody desires to see them, to get them to church. Amen. Offer them a Bible study. What are you doing? I'm putting wood on the fire. Because I don't want to see that fire go out. And you're benefiting from that heat of that fire and from the joy of that fire and the zeal of that fire and the energy of that fire. And so our new converts need to make sure that we've got people propping them up and helping them. Amen. Putting that fire in there. Somebody says, well, bless God, nobody did that for me. You know, I was just John Wayne style. I just made it. Toughed it out and made it on through. Well, everybody isn't like Brother John Wayne. Other people need Brother John Wayne to help them a little bit. A Chick Beaudry to help them out a little bit. And build that fire. Praise God. Well, glory, it's not Wednesday night service. I got to move. But Paul understood and realized, hey, we got a benefit that's going on here. We got something good that's happening right now. But if we all sit back and kick back and take it easy and just typically say, oh, this is wonderful, let's just sit back and relax for a while, it's going to go out. When you've got something good going, keep putting the fire on it. Keep putting the wood on it. Keep putting things that burn on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we got a good thing going on around here. And I believe it's going to get bigger, and I believe it's going to get better. And I believe it's going to get hotter. And I'm going to show you here in a little bit about the benefits that came out of that fire. But we got another lesson. And so Paul takes his wood and he goes to throw it on that fire because he knows that where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. And so he takes that wood and he goes up to the fire and he throws it on the fire. And in the process of throwing it on the fire, a snake came out and attached itself unto Paul's hand. So there's two lessons in this. Number one, and you hear me very, very clearly, there is a fire. There is a place where the snake feels comfortable. And that snake was very, very content just to warm itself by the fire and just to stay there. But that snake didn't want anybody putting that fire, making that fire bigger. That snake didn't want anything, amen, coming that would cause that fire to flare up. Let's just sit back and take it easy. And let's just all be good. We can have a fire around here, but yet there can be old attitudes that feel comfortable basking in the warmth of the fire. Old emotions, old spirits, old hang-ups, trippings that feel comfortable. You feel like you've got victory over it, but it's just close enough to the fire and content is you don't have a big enough fire going on. You've got to make that fire so hot that the snake can't be comfortable hanging around the fire. I've been around those fires that, brother Carl Elder, he took us out on a camping trip one time. And so we're out there. Number one, it's wet. Number two, it's cold. That's why I don't like to duck hunt. Because I don't want to be wet and I don't want to be cold. Nevertheless, it was wet and it was cold. And so they got this fire going. And I'm telling you what, you could back your backside up against that fire. And after a while, it kind of get a little bit warm and stuff. But I mean, it was cold. And you had to stay super close to that fire. And we all had our shoes hanging out on sticks over the fire, and they were all smoking because they were wet, and you don't want to put your feet in wet shoes. And we had our socks hanging up trying to get our socks dry because it was miserable. Miserable. We had this huge tent, and we was all piled in this tent and stuff. And sometime around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, my boys—they were little kids, they were little guys then—and they're like, "Daddy, it's cold." I'm like, "Come get in my sleeping bag. Cover yourself up. Cover your head up." It was cold. It was miserable. And so, but you had to get up close to that fire to be a recipient of the heat that is there. But I've been around other fires that you can't even get close. And you walk around like this, I mean, because it'll burn your skin. You get flash burn on it because it is so hot and it's so intense. I've been welding before and you get flash burn, amen, off of it. And those guys that are welders, and they wear those leather and such like that. And yet still they come away and they got flash burn on their necks and up their faces and such like that. Amen, because it's intense, it's intense, it's intense. Amen, that's the way you got to make it. Amen, if you want some things to burn out of your life, amen, just some old issues and some old problems, I'm encouraging you to turn up the fire. Crank up the fire of prayer. Crank up the fire of worship. Amen. Crank it up. Amen. And that old snake is not going to be comfortable sitting around for very long. He's going to have to come out. Said, "Preacher, I don't know if I want that snake to come out." That's where your miracle is going to happen. Amen. Because when that snake latched on, amen, everybody else thought, "That's final. It's done. Paul is a dead man." But the fire that Paul had created, he shook that snake off into that fire. And that fire consumed that snake. When you get that fire hot enough, oh yeah, that devil's going to jump out at you. But the fire that you have created is able to destroy the spirits that are trying to destroy you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Musicians are coming tonight. You can stand. But this is where I want to end tonight. Everybody looked. Because when you start having revival like this, it's going to catch the attention of everybody. And everybody was looking around. And they're thinking, yeah, Paul's going to die. Yeah, he shook that snake off into the fire. Yeah, he did that. He did. He did. He did. And but Paul's going to die. And so they just stood back from a distance and watched. Yeah, he's going to die. He didn't die. Yeah, he's done something mighty wrong. The sea wasn't able to destroy him, but vengeance is served, and that snake is going to destroy him. That's a poisonous snake. He's dead. And they watched. And he didn't die. And they got around a little bit closer. And they got knowing his hand really wasn't swelled up. There's something different about this man. I don't know. What is it? I don't know. I thought he was a murderer. Yeah, so did I. I don't know. I thought he was a pretty bad guy. Yeah, I did too. I wonder if he's a god. Well, I don't know. But it's obvious he ain't a bad dude. No. What is it with him? I don't know. It's something. So go tell the chief captain. And so they went and told the chief captain. They said, "Hey, you never believe what I just saw. I'm serious. This guy had a snake come out and attached to his hand. One of those vipers." "Oh, well, then he's dead." No, he's not dead. "He shook it off back into the fire." "Well, yeah, but give him some time. He's going to die." "No, that was several hours ago. He should have already died." "Really? Well, I mean, who is he?" "I don't know." "Well, what is he?" "I don't know." "Is he a god?" "I don't know. But there's something different about him. Go get him." "Hey, our captain wants to see you." "Okay. So what is it? Are you a god?" "No, I'm not a god. I love God." wonder what, why aren't you dead? Because God is the healer of all things. God kept me. God ain't going to let me die in a situation like this. Well, you know what? I've got a mother that's extremely sick. You think you could pray for her? Sure. Where is she at? Oh, she's over here. And they got a guy over here that's got the bloody flu, got dysentery and stuff. And Paul goes, and the Bible said that revival broke out right there. Paul's praying for this one and they're healed. Paul's praying for this one and they get healed. Paul prays for this one and they get healed. And everybody that's in that little community in that village, they're getting healed. Amen. And everybody looked at Paul being in a shipwreck and they said, he's done something mighty wrong. Amen. You know why they shipwrecked? It's because God said, I want you to stop right here because I've got a revival over here that I need to take place. And some of us look at situations in our life and we hang our heads and we say, I just don't know what's going on. And God says, I'll tell you what's going on. I want to be glorified in this situation. I've got a revival right now. And here you are speeding on past it. I want you to stop and have revival here for a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, there's a lot of things that we can learn from the fire. Oh, but when it's said and done, I've got this one thing that I know. Revival is going to come of it. God's got a way of proving all things. And if we get the revival fires hot enough and big enough, they'll come from all around to see what's going on at New Life Tabernacle. Let's magnify the Lord today.